Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 17 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled Transition to Transformation. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Clash of Two Kingdoms, the God side versus the dark side. And, you know, this teaching began with the clash of the three sides. Last week I brought it into a merger, two sides merged. I'm trying to follow a biblical pattern here and give it contemporary terms of the days that we're living. And so we see that we have merged here into the times, have merged, two sides have merged together. It's the side of man and the dark side. And so it's still titled, though, I titled it The Dark Side, because the dark side takes over man. And the funny thing is, man thinks he takes over the dark side. But actually, the dark side takes over man. And so as we, this is not a new story. It's since the beginning of time, this battle has been raging. But it just so happens I wasn't here then. And so we have to play catch up since the beginning of time. So I'm birthed, you're birthed in this time. And so this has been going on for a long time. It's not like I'm trying to tell you some new news, but it is some of it new to us. And so as we see and as we gather our ideas again on there's two sides, there is a goal here in mind. Now, the subtitle is From Transition to Transformation. We began that a little bit last week. We had from merger or anarchy to merger. We're still in the merging process now of man and darkness. And we find ourselves caught in the middle of this merger. And as this merger takes place, the desire to serve God will increase, and the desire to join the dark side will increase inside of us all. And because as these two things are happening, there's a tremendous pull, a tremendous pull. And the enemy is trying to convince us, based on things that we see, that the things that we don't see are not real. In other words, when that happens, he's not after what you don't see. He's after your faith that is attached to what you don't see. It's huge. It's important that we see that. Because disappointment to the believer of God, my goal is that it's non-existent. It's non-existent. Because my faith in whom I serveth has been complete. I'm not there yet, but I'm headed there. So, here we go. Distinct sides. I began that also a little bit last week on distinct sides. And there again, sometimes what I say might appear to be a little redundant. It's not, because I see myself as more of teaching a class than I do preaching, even though I'm not sure what the difference is. But anyway, I see myself more in trying to teach us so that we retain it as truth. So we have here what's called distinct sides. I began that some last week. Now, I want to call this little segment here the Dark Side 2.0. I've been speaking about three sides, God's side, side of man, and the dark side now for several months. And then last week, we talked about the merger, man and the dark side. And then this week, we had something, this past week, week before last and last week, we had something pop up into the reality, because I do read what's going on around us as you do. We read it, but what we want to do is look in it, not just at it, because it's all a reflection of what's happening in the spirit world. And so what happened is does anybody knows that the gas pipelines got shut now? Okay, maybe affected you a little bit. Can anybody tell me who shut it down? The dark side. The name of the hacking group is named the dark side. Yeah. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, okay, there it is. There it is. And so did anybody feel the presence of the Holy Ghost when you saw that? Okay. So what's happening is the spiritual world it breaks in. So man pays off the dark side a ransom of $5 million or cryptocurrency or whatever. But there is the merger. There's a merger of man. I mean, whoever heard tell of such? I mean, we ran to do it, you know. How quickly can we pay them? So we have a merger, a payoff. Now I've noticed in the last few days that they've said that the currency has been captured. The dark side says it has dissolved. Now, do you really believe that? I don't believe that. In other words, they got the money, they ran, now they say they have disappeared. And they said they're even going to give close to 10% of it to charity. I'm not kidding. They're going to give 10% of it to charity to show how ethical they are. I'm serious. They even got a website to help the people that they stole the money from if you need to talk to somebody. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. So can somebody say blurred lines? Blurred lines. The lines are being blurred by the dark side. So now you can, I mean, it goes on and on and on. I sat there, I'm like, if you think I really believe all of a sudden y'all decided this week you're going to run away because you got caught. You know, you just had a way to take the money underground, and now it's, and everybody thinks you're gone. Sounds just like the dark side, doesn't it? Okay. There's been a merger. There's a reflection in the natural world and what happens in the spiritual world. Now, the good news is God's doing something too. So I have this sneaky feeling whatever the enemy's doing that God's one step ahead of him. Doesn't mean I'm one step ahead of him. It means God's one step ahead of him. So our goal is we want to be up with God. We won't be running with him. We know our world around us is just really, I mean, I can't even, if I wanted to be worldly, I can't keep up with it. Could you? I mean, this is a hard thing to keep up with. But we know that things are moving faster, and I've been discussing that in the last few weeks, get into it a little more today. Everything is moving faster. And so therefore, we can't run with one foot in both lanes. We can't run with one foot in both paths, one foot in the world's path and one foot in God's path, because you might can straddle the middle and walk, but you can't run. We have entered the time of the scriptures that I think it's required that we run. And nobody likes to rest in God more than I do. And I believe the faster you run, the more you rest. That's good. That's good. So, the dark side. They said they went away and that they've been caught by the FBI and all of this sort of stuff. But then yesterday they came out. What the dark side does is that they are a group that hacks computer systems, to make it just plain. And they're not known to hack it. They're known to sell the software to the hackers. And that's, you know, they like to, it's a group, they like to sell the software. So they're not really so much guilty of doing it as they are just selling the software so you can do it. Sounds like dark side to me. What about you? You see, the devil doesn't sin. He causes you to do it. He don't have no egg on his face. He just seduces us to do his bidding. So anyway, there's a lot of similarities, which I just started to go down through. I thought, this will never end. But now, yesterday, the dark side, you know, the one that said they dissolved, came out with a new dark side 2.0. I'm not kidding. That's what they called it. So they're gone, but now they are issuing a new software you can get. And this software is supposed to exclude hospitals and schools and it says certain governments. It's amazing to me it named Russia. I don't know why they did that, but it has all of these disclaimers. If you get the 2.0, that it won't hurt orphanages, and you know they're trying to show this benevolent side of the thievery. And I'm sitting there thinking, am I reading a science fiction novel? Have we lost our ever loving minds? And so anyway, there has now been, if you want to get into hacking, you can now buy DarkSide 2.0. Now here's what it said about the group. The DarkSide hacker gang that is responsible for the devastating Colonial Pipeline attack this weekend is a relatively a new group. But cybersecurity analysts already know enough about them to determine just how dangerous they are. So that was CNBC there a few days ago. So we have, I bring to you this morning a testimony from the world that this dark side, the merger and all this I've been speaking of is real. So we have what, we'll move on now. The merger, we had this spiritual term. It's a combination of two things into one, so we are seeing. Now, you got to understand something. The enemy in this day is trying to seduce you. You can say you're Christ, you're giving your life to Christ, and you're saved. You can say all these things, but you cannot deny the fact that the dark side is not trying to pull you in. It is trying to pull you in. It's trying to pull in your thinking. It's trying to pull you into a compromising situation. And I'm just suggesting to us that we are in a time of compromise is not going to be tolerated. It just doesn't, as they say, rat poison is 98% pure corn, 2% strychnine. So it doesn't take much to sink the ship is the point. In the days ahead where we're going. That is a bad cup of coffee, but for some reason it tastes so good this morning. So merger is a combination. Now, the distinction is a recognizable difference. So we're in a time that distinctions are important. We went over some of that last week on how the lines are being blurred. Distinctions are important. And I'm just suggesting to us that distinctions is the issue. And if you want to see prophetically, it's of necessity that you can make distinctions. And then it bleeds over into the scriptures. You can make a I heard something this week. I heard three things. I wrote them down. And as I was teaching and trying to make an emphasis and trying to put into words a spiritual phenomena called distinctions. And somebody said something to me. I said, that's not true. And I thought, I'm getting closer to the Holy Spirit. How did I know that? I knew it wasn't true. And it was a statement made. Everybody around me said, I said, that's not true. And they said, well, how do you know it's not true? I said, because I can feel it. I know it in here. It's not true. So it took me 2 days to get it all checked out, and everything was completely false and wasn't true. All right, that happened to me three times this week. And I know it's happened to you, and it's happened to all of us a little from here and there. The reason I'm saying this out loud, not using me as the example, I am not the example, but I am promoting a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God to the point we know the difference between a truth and a lie. And I had a noticeable difference this week in just being able to distinguish that's not true. Now, I'll tell you what, as I was teaching this, started it several months ago, the Holy Spirit said to me, Alan, I want you to be more truthful in my speech and what I say and what I do. And so he's been calling me to attention in my conversations and what I do to be very, very truthful. And it's been very, very hard. That's right. Yeah, you too. Don't look like you're perfect. It's very hard. I thought I had been very, very truthful until the Holy Spirit arrested me to the fact I want you to be very conscious of being very truthful. And I've been, I'm not saying I've told lies, but I've not told the whole truth. For a lot of different reasons. Well, I'm in a hurry, or I'm a this, or well, I mean, I can make excuses and get myself out of it. The only thing I'm telling you is the Holy Spirit has been calling me to be very, very truthful. Well, I didn't know the benefit of that was I'd be able to hear the truth better. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit's trying to help me hear and to see. And by me being under conviction to be very, 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 very truthful, a side benefit's going to be I can tell the difference in a truth and a lie very quickly. The Holy Spirit is doing something. I don't know what it is. But where we're going, this is going to be important. It's going to be very important. I've also noticed I'm not going to be given the luxury of I've had it. I've just had it. I noticed that really cut truth off pretty quick. Some reason that attitude, I've had it, doesn't work well with the Spirit of truth. It just doesn't work well. Maybe y'all can do better with it than me. Because I thought one of the luxuries at being 68 years old, I can say I've had it and get by with it. But that's not true. I have to be truthful. So as we're moving forward, there's different things that I have noticed that keeps me from discerning the truth when being said or I see it. Because you've heard me say it, the accumulation of evidence does not always equal the truth. Even though our world system goes by, we accumulate evidence. I've got 8 pieces of evidence that says you're guilty and 2 that says you're not. The only thing I can tell you is a lot of people in prison that had 2 said they weren't and 8 said they were. And they were innocent. So here's my point. The accumulation of evidence does not necessarily tell you the truth. We want to use accumulation of evidence and then for the last little bit, well, Holy Spirit, what do you think? It's not going to work that way where we're going. Because accumulation, you can Photoshop anything today. Anything. There's not going to be but one place that we know that the truth is. That's in God's Word. That's being interpreted by His Holy Spirit to our hearts. And so if we've ever been in the day of the Holy Ghost, it's today. And I stand before you, and I just feel like I'm a distant friend or a fourth or fifth cousin to the Holy Spirit that you see about every 10 years. I'm pursuing the Holy Ghost with everything within me, but I know I've got a long ways to go. But I'm excited. Because what I've picked up so far, I'm liking it. Now, here we go. Man's path and the path of the dark side are merging to make one. Lines are being blurred to create this merger. Now watch it. The old man nature conforms or the old man nature transforms. Now there's two things that's happening here. You either conform or you transform. Now we are in a time period that one or the two is going to happen. I hate to burst your bubble. You're not going to stay the same. There is not a no man's land here. You're either going to conform into this world or you're going to transform into the likeness of Christ. That's where we are. Now to transform, it's in the scriptures, it's called of a likened to a metamorphosis, which is the process of transformation from an immature form to an adult form in 2 or more distinct stages. So as Christians, we are living in an age and in a day and in a time that is going to require adult Christians. Children's whine. Children complain. Children say it was their fault. Are you with me? A change of the form or nature of a thing or a person into a completely different one by nature or by supernatural means. That's right out of your dictionary. It was an older version before I could find it, but it's right out of your dictionary because the supernatural means has been taken out of most of the new ones. In your old ones, it was there. By different or by natural or supernatural means. Now, to be conformed is not a supernatural process. To be conformed means your image is being preserved and just reshaped a little. To be transformed means you're taking on a new mind. So the biggest person you need to be upset with in this room is yourself. Now, watch it. Conformed or transformed, your choice. Now here's where, I'm just not trying to make a little sweetie Bible study here. I'm trying to bring truth that is imperative as Christians that you have and I have to go into next week and the rest of our time on planet Earth. Conformed or transformed, your choice. Now, you got to say, well, Alan, I'm being transformed. Well, yeah, but you got to understand the church today is trying to, a lot in the church today, people want the church to conform to the world and be palatable. I'm saying there should be a greater distinction now than there was 50 years ago. And I'm not saying we're to be religious. I'm saying we're to be transformed. Yeah. If you're being transformed into this world, I mean, a butterfly doesn't look anything like its caterpillar. Right. It's totally different, and you know all those differences. Now, Romans 12:2 says this, and be not what? Conformed in this world. So here's the battle. And I have to examine myself on how I'm being conformed. Going to say, well, yeah, I understand this. Well, I understand this and I understand this about that. And yeah, I understand, yeah. Yeah, I'm woke. I understand. I get it. You see what I'm saying? And if you sit down with people of this world that have their act together, you'll come away from their conversation being convinced. That's right. Because the message is empowered by the dark side's spirits. That's right. So if you are open to spirits, you'll be conformed. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can't be conformed because you've been transformed. So if you are idle ground that has not made a commitment on one side or the other, I'll tell you where you'll land. You'll be conformed into this world. Now, being conformed is the key to have the faith of the world. Being conformed is the key to, listen, when you're conformed, you're developing a faith, is the problem. When we are being conformed to this world, we're developing a faith and an allegiance to this world. There again, you got to decide what you're going to believe. We want to take parts of the Bible and say, well, yeah, this part will work in, it'll conform into my system. The only thing I'm suggesting is if you think the old-time preachers and the old-time holy rollers were fanatic, that's our goal to go beyond. because there's not enough difference from us. I'm not saying a religious spirit here. I'm talking about being transformed to where there is a huge difference. When we're transformed, the people of God, you don't have to tell them anything. You don't have to teach them. The Holy Ghost is in them, guiding them and directing them. It's an amazement to be, and I see the Church of Jesus Christ by necessity needing to be a transformed community of the people of God with adulthood status.
Yeah.
Now, being conformed is the key. Now, watch that. It's a key to having the faith of this world. And if you have the faith of this world, then you're sold out to it. Being transformed is the key in having faith of God. A pastor's been introducing us to the idea of having faith in God to the faith of God. And I've discovered this past week, there's no way I can get the faith of God without the transformation process. I'm not really sure how much of him he's got to be transformed to get there. I'm hoping he'll give me $5 worth, like pulling up to a gas station. Give me $5 worth of the faith of God I need a little right now or what. But I'm hoping and I'm seeing, I am personally pressed at how much I have not transformed. That's what I'm just being very honest with you. But I'm going after that, the faith of God, not just faith in God. I'm after the faith of God. And I could say in my defense, there's been a time or two I've kind of tripped into it. But I can honestly say to you that there's something in me, since I'm being more truthful, there's something in me that's wanting to run after the faith of God because I'm dumb enough to think I can get it. Now, is that not a crazy thought? But I'm persuaded, and I know it's by the Holy Ghost is persuading me to run after the faith of God, because it's the faith of God that's going to set us apart in the future from the world. Now, here we go. Romans 12:2 says it like this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've went over this one some, but I'm wanting us to look into it there just a little deeper. Conformed is first, transformed is second. To work into the world, you can see there, you have to conform to the world. Now listen, let me say this. Just to not conform to the world doesn't mean you transformed. You might just trade one worldly system for another. You know, you can be conformed into a harder hardhead. Or you can be conformed just into a radical. I'm radical. Well, you're radical. That doesn't mean that you've been transformed. Radical is not a hyped up, conformed person. Radical for Jesus means we're more like Jesus. It takes a transformation. Somehow or another, with the love of Jesus, somehow or another, we can destroy the works of the enemy. I want to slice them up and cut their heads off and throw them in a creek. So I hadn't quite been transformed yet. You noticed? Now, here we go. Distinction is the key to the battle. Went over this a little bit, going to it just a little deeper right now. Distinction is the key. You're either conformers versus transformers. Here's the battle. Here's the infantry men, if you will. It's the conformers versus the transformers. If you look on the news, if you look out here today, you know I'm telling you the truth. So the question is not for us to sit here and blame the conformers. The question is, how much of a conformer is in me? How much of a double agent am I? Here we go. Now, distinction, what does it mean? It's a difference or a contrast between similar things or people. For some reason, I feel pressed that this is a big deal to make a distinction between who we are and who the world is. Doesn't mean that we don't go in and eat with people, or I'm not saying that. I don't have to say that to this group. I don't have to go elementary on you. You're eating meat here. So there's got to be a contrast between things and people. Distinction is the necessary spiritual tool to speak and see prophetically and see truth. The world's trying to blur the lines, and our job is to keep things distinct. Male, female, are you with me? I was talking to Jeff Rowland this morning on the phone. He was going to preach, and every now and then we'll call each other. And he said, "Alan, what you hearing?" And we were, said a few things. He said, "Alan, I hate to say this, but I just wish we had just some good old-fashioned drunk to work with." And I said, "What?" He said, "Just give me a good natural alcoholic." He said, "The things that we're dealing," he went through this list. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what planet did that come from?" He said, "If we could just get back to some normal sin," he said, "it'd be nice." Can you? And the problem is, I understood it. I understood it because we got the world of the natural, then we got the world of the unnatural. And now we're walking in, and what's manifesting to the earth today is the unnatural, which is the darkness. It's what's under. Listen, the spiritual world of the dark side is breaking through into the natural world. But I can't help but believe that the supernatural side of God's side will break through to the earth stronger. So if we're seeing the dark side breakthrough in the so you got natural, then you got unnatural, then you got supernatural. And the colliding place is planet Earth. Well, God tends to hold back a little bit and say, "Well, y'all work it out. I'm here, you know, I'm working." But here we got the dark side breaking through. And it's pulling the unnatural. See, how do you know something's unnatural? You won't talk. Well, number one, you keep it hidden, you won't talk about it. Right? Well, all the unnatural stuff today is, here, we're proud of it. Right? So that's the way the natural and unnatural works. So the unnatural, the only thing I can tell you about is we need to be talking about what God's doing, what God's going to do. The soup bringing, we have some reason, oh, God bless your heart. For some reason, God has chosen the church to bring His supernatural kingdom into this earth. Just bless his heart. Can I bless God's heart? Yeah. Just bless his heart. For some reason, he has chosen and created church to be the delivering unit of the kingdom of God and the supernatural to the earth. And for some reason, I think we got some catching up to do real quickly. That's the reason I'm so excited about acceleration. I think God's going to catch us up. And I need to accelerate to get on through this thing. Yeah, last week, I talked about the two paths. Future has two paths. Path of God, which is eternal. Pathway of God, I'm sure everybody knows, is the left. It's the hard path that gives you blisters on your feet. And you're walking uphill all the way. The path of the world is more easy. It's just like downhill. You don't have to do anything. It'll just take care of itself and go downhill. Well, if you have the attitude that everything will take care of itself, let me give you the answer. No, it's not. But the pathways of God is always a strong pull. It takes discipline. Can somebody say, "I'm in love with discipline"? Wow, that didn't work, did it? Okay. Discipline is the issue. I've noticed the older I get, it's harder to do. Discipline gets harder. So you don't want to start too late. It just gets harder. Now, path of man in darkness, which ends in destruction. So we got these two paths. We know that we're going on. We know that the world and man's path merge. The battle is more about us finding the will of God. I've said this from the beginning. Than it is about finding our future. For our future is where? In the will of God. Your future, my future, is in the will of God. And what we're speaking about, what we're learning about is God's will. There lies your future, and God will bring the definition. We must allow the Spirit to guide us into the truth of God's path and the future. Now, it's in John 16, 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, because whatever soever He heareth, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Here I got into future a couple of weeks ago, but today I want you to understand He is your spirit guide. Now, for those of you that come out of New Age, there you go. Help yourself. God gave us a spirit guide before you thought of it. Called a guiding of the Holy Spirit to guide us. And it's this spirit guide of that, and I can't say it enough because I'm compelled. And I just encourage everyone in this room to be compelled to say, I want to know and be introduced more to the Holy Spirit of God, His presence, His Spirit. I cannot overemphasize it. I can't teach you that. You have to go after it. You can't sit in here and me teach you into it. It has to be a personal conviction. It has to be a personal relationship that you are crying out to God, I want to know your presence and your spirit more, especially for the days that are ahead. I can't do it for you. Pastor can't do it. You can't come in here and get ducked in the water 10 times. It's not going to do it. If your heart doesn't long, and that, you say, well, Alan, I don't feel like it. I don't care. It's still the right answer. Ask for it.
Yeah.
Ask for it. Because this spiritual guide that we need in these times, I talked to a New Ager 3 weeks ago, four or whatever, and she's talking about spirit guide. And I said, well, I've had one of them. I said, God turned that one loose 2,000 years ago. It was fun. They didn't know it was in there, and they got it. And I said, I've got the original version. You got a fake. So y'all laugh more than they did. Okay, we have a guide. It's in John 14, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it has seen Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, and He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, come on, people. Get real with this verse. Please, somebody, get real with this verse. That is huge. That is something for me to explore. Is this Holy Ghost in me? And every now and then it starts popping up for sure. I tell you one way you can tell how you're doing with the Holy Ghost. That's if the tears you have are not too far from your face. Now, maybe not everybody's like that, but for the most part, I've always noticed as people get more in touch with the Holy Ghost, tears aren't far away. They just, for some reason, and you can't really know if they are or not because you can't understand what they say. Because something happens to the voice when the ears start leaking. I mean, ears start leaking. Eyes start leaking. Go deeper into the future. Now, of course, I got in a lot of trouble when I first began this series saying that what happened in the elections was the prophets were telling the future, which is forbidden. And I said what they were supposed to do was to tell the will of God. Does everybody remember that? We're wanting to tell the will of God. And I don't know if I said this out loud last week or not, but when our pastor stands up here, he's not a preacher, he's a prophet. Preacher is something that he maybe preaches, but you got to understand the reality. He's a prophet of God telling the will of God. That's right. That's what he is. He's a prophet of God telling the will of God. So, if we're going deeper into the future, future telling or future seeing, I hit that, I'm going in another direction this morning. Future telling has a conclusion. So, when people tell the future, it has a conclusion. And I'll use it, and if it hurts your feelings, I'm past that. It was told that Trump would be the next president, future. I want you to think about something. If you could tell, what if a Democrat prophet got that? Is he not going to do everything he can do to see that doesn't happen? Right? Here's my point. What if you could see future? A kid running across the road out here, going to get hit by a car. You see it. So you take out there, you're going to change what you see in the future. But when you ran out there and pulled a kid out of the way, the car verved, hit another car head on, killed everybody. Here's my point. If you could truly see the future, you're going to mess up its future. Anybody with me? I'm telling you, it's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. Now, let's look at this. It has a conclusion. Future seeing never does have a conclusion. You're seeing future. You're saying, well, this person continues down this path, this is probably where they're going to end, right? That's future seeing. So the future I've taught you has two paths, your path, God's path. Future has two paths, your path, God's path. When I see people prophetically, I see two paths. And then when I see the two paths, I might say, well, if they stay on drugs or alcohol, they're going to end up here. There's one path. But then I see God's path. So I call them unto God's path, which is this book right here. So I can see their future. I'm not going to give it a conclusion, but I'm going to use the will of God for their future. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
So we do, that's legal. We can do that and bring life. So future seeing doesn't bring conclusions because the conclusion's left to the individual and God. For future seeing is declaring the will of God. So as true prophets, we want to stand and look into the future and to declare what the will of God is. Now, I told you, do I think it was the will of God? I don't know why, but I think it was the will of God that Trump be the next president. I think that was the will of God. But did it happen? No, it didn't happen. And I've also taught y'all that the will of God doesn't always happen. Now, who messed it up? Well, only thing I can tell you is the prophets didn't help. Because if you're going to tell me Trump's going to be president, I'm going to say, well, they didn't need me voting. There's no need me doing anything. The future's already been declared. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You see why it's dangerous to tell future?
Yeah.
If you tell future as a conclusion and you convince people, that means they're not going to do anything. So therefore, you've changed the future that you think you saw. Am I talking in a bucket? Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Is anybody interested in what I'm saying? It is very, very, very important. So as a prophetic people, we speak unto people's future in light of the will of God. That's the reason I make the statement that I show every week. You want to find your future in the will of God. There's some people sitting here under the sound of my voice that God's calling you into some type of ministry. I'm not saying you quit your job and do it, but you just kind of sit around for 20 years trying to figure, do it! For crying out loud, somebody, just Nike up and do it. I'm going to leave you on that sad note. Because it's 10:32. I do love you. And man, I've got somewhere to go with that. But will y'all remember what all I've said here this morning? Because I'm not going to re-talk anything. Just remember where we are and consider it. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. It is my prayer, O God, and I perceive it to be your will, that you'll meet us in this place today.
Yes.
And that the truth of this book, that we'll see the blind healed, the sick
yes.
healed, the lost will be saved, the brokenhearted will be mended.
Yes.
Dear God, it is our prayer. Oh God, let us move from believing having the faith of God to the faith in God to having the faith of God. Move us this day. Be with her pastor. Anoint him fresh and anew. And I pray, oh God, that he would speak supernaturally out of your spirit, not out of his, but yours. Let him be at peace and deliver what your heart gives him. And we'll receive it as a prophet from God and as a friend. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.